We're going to talk today about the gospel reading appointed for today, Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. I'll read for you again these verses starting at verse 42. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, all week long, the way we deal with money these days depends on trust. We go to work trusting our employer is going to pay us at the end of the period. We deposit our money and then in the bank, trusting that it's still going to be there when we need it. Or we have automatic deposit and automatic withdrawal to pay our bills, trusting that the right amount of money is going to change hands, even though we never see it except on paper. And we borrow money, and the lender trusts us to repay it. Or we give a credit card number in the store, or we type it in online, trusting that the business is only going to take the amount that we actually owe. And the credit card company trusts that we're going to pay for it. Or we use checks, each one of us trusting that that amount of money is really in the bank. All despite the fact that sometimes there is fraud and cheating and identity theft, partly because we trust the government or insurance to take care of the problem if it happens. Our text for today reminds us that ultimately we must do with our money what our money itself says we are doing. In God we trust. So the text shows that what we do with money on Sundays also should depend on our trusting in God above all things. As we look at our text, we see that God sees our trust show in how we live. We see that we trust God to do things that we do not yet see, all because we trust in God who gives unseen riches. Let's think first about how God sees our trust show in our living. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Jesus is constantly observing people. And he apparently seems to see what not everyone is able to see. While everybody notices those who are sitting in places of honor, he has to point out this poor widow in her tiny little offering. He seems to have X-ray vision like Superman is supposed to have. Like the security scanner in the airport, he sees what's under the surface. As the Bible says, God looks at the heart. Jesus sees that people are not always what they appear. He sees the scribes in their long white robes looking very holy, and he sees that they have very thinly veiled pride and greed. Maybe the things they do are meant to impress others. Maybe they think their long prayers are going to impress God. Maybe they are working at convincing themselves that they are saved because of the things that they do. Maybe people are putting large amounts of money into the offering chest here, also trusting that this is going to help them to pay off God so that he will look the other way when they do things that they shouldn't be doing. But when they put their impressive amounts in the offering, what God sees is how much is left in their pockets or back at home. He also can see, of course, when things are done with a right heart. But God sees that like a magician doing magic tricks, sometimes we make a big show of doing something in order to distract from what's really happening. We may try to act sometimes more prosperous than we are, spending more than we can afford on things we don't need. Other times we may try to appear more poor than we are. Oh, I can't afford to help you. Yet the things we do are not always hard to see through. Our money may say, "In God we trust," but sometimes what we do with it shows that what we really trust in as our God is money and what we can do with it. Sometimes we may be the ones that deceive ourselves. We may say as individuals, or as a group, even as a congregation, that our values and our priorities are this or that, but looking at how much we spend on what can often reveal what our real priorities are. Jesus sees these things because he was there when people were giving their offerings in the temple, and so he is also here when we do that kind of thing. Just as he is present when we gather to pray in his name or to speak to others in his name, to forgive sins in his name, because doing this in his name means that it's all coming from him, so also he is with us whenever we use our money, recognizing that this too all comes from him. And so we trust God to give to us what we do not yet see. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." So how much did this woman give? Well, the translation says a penny. Well, what's a penny then worth today? Her 2 coins, here's a way of figuring, her 2 coins of temple money, that's what you had to use for offering, were equal, we're told, to 1 of the smallest Roman coins, which was about 1/64th of a day's wage. Maybe we could calculate that out to today's wages and say maybe it was worth about $2. Just enough for a value burger and fries at McDonald's. So that may be all she had to eat on that day. Like the widow in our Old Testament meal, she may have had enough for just 1 more meal. But how her money compares to our money is not the most important. Spreadsheets programs, you know, can display information in various ways, as whole numbers or as dollars or as percentages. How should we set our minds to look at how much we give? Well, not just as dollar amounts, that might seem pretty big. Not just as comparison to what other people are giving, not even as our share of what seems to be needed, but as a percentage. That is a percentage of what we have already received from God. So what percentage does Jesus command here? 100%. In verse 44, Jesus says here, she gave all she had to live on. Literally, in the original language, she gave her whole living. Jesus sees how she honors God, not just with her money, but with her whole living, her whole life. Well, God has given us our whole life. What does God want from us in return? Not just our money, but our whole life. Life is something that you either have or you don't have. You don't have life in part. God, who gives us our whole life, intends for us to use our whole life according to his will for us, according to his good purposes. So, how much do we give? Depends on the effect on how we live. But more important is not just how much this woman gave, but why. We can infer that it was for the same reason that that widow in the Old Testament reading gave what she did to Elijah, feeding him all the food she had. And why Israel was to bring the very first fruits as their offering to the Lord. It's because of trust in God's promise that there's going to be more where that came from. Would you spend all the money you had in your pocket in one place? Well, sure. If you had a credit card or a bank account where you could get more whenever you needed it. this widow, who surely lived from hand to mouth, had learned that God provided for her one day at a time. And so she trusted God to give her more when she needed it. When we give our offerings, more than anything else, we are expressing our trust in God. More than a way to simply pay the church's bills, more than a way to get a good tax deduction, it's an act of worship. It's a way of saying, this is showing how I trust God. We can trust the God who sees the unseen in our hearts to provide for us what we do not yet see. We have to do this all the time anyway, with something that's even more valuable than our money or our possessions, which is our life. Why do we so carefully watch our accounts or our possessions? It's so that we'll have enough in the future. Why do we think we're going to have a future? Why do we think we're going to have another tomorrow? Well, we simply tend to assume it because of the quality of life that God has given us today. We can trust God who gives us our life to give us what we need for life. Now again, the important question is why? Why do we trust God? We trust God who sees the unseen in our hearts and look forward to His yet unseen blessings because of the love that's in His heart, which we can see when we look at His Word. We trust in God who gives unseen riches. We read, many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins. The woman in our text could have taken these coins and shopped around to see how she could get the most bread for her money. Instead, she took them to where she got what she needed for life more than daily bread, that is, the Word of God. What she received in worship was worth far more than what she or any of the others gave. Luther said when he goes to worship, he brings an empty sack that gets filled. And the next week, he comes back with the sack empty again. What that sack was filled with was not potatoes or clean laundry, but hope and love and peace and forgiveness, which he used up each week on the frustrations and the fears and the failures of everyday life. At the end of each pay period, I do not get handed a wad of dollar bills. In fact, these days, I don't even get a check. I get a note that says it's all automatically been deposited in my account. When we come to worship each week, we don't get a ticket for another week of life, but what we get is a message about what has already been deposited into our accounts. What God puts into our account is a living. Not just a day-to-day living, but a forever living with Him in heaven. He does this for us because He who looks at our hearts sees there the weakness and the fear and the guilt that is there. He sees that even our best behavior and our greatest riches are tiny mites compared to what we need, not just for this life, but for eternal life. And what He gives us instead is the righteousness of Christ. It is credited to us when our sins are counted against His account and fully paid for by His blood on the cross, where He gave us His whole living in order to provide for us a whole living. Far better than what any of the scribes or any of the others could do for themselves, He dresses us in the white robes of His righteousness. He gives us a warm greeting in heaven. He gives us a seat of honor at the heavenly banquet. Along with this, God has given us His only Son. And the Bible reminds us, if He would do that for us, He will along with Him freely give us all things. As Jesus had to point out for His disciples this greatest gift of the woman, we would not realize this. And unless God pointed out for us what are God's greatest gifts to us. The first verse of our text says, this happens while Jesus is teaching in the temple. This is why we come here to this house of God, This is why we do what we do in worship. Because it's through His teaching and His Word here that God does for us what He does for us. This is where He gives us His riches, through His Word and in His sacraments. We receive all we need for life. He gives us our life itself. He gives all we need for eternal life. This is why we give and why we live the way we do. Because God sees our trust shown in how we live. Jesus sees what counts. Not just in the money put in the box, but He sees in the heart putting our trust in God. We trust God to do what we do not yet see. We do all our living today for God because we trust God for our tomorrows and for our living and all we need for life. We trust in God who gives unseen riches, forgiveness, and the comfort we need every day because of the righteousness of Christ that is credited to us and the eternal treasure that's stored up for us in heaven. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.